Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
When I was a little boy, I wasn't very hard to buy for. I didn't have anything. I needed everything. I needed socks. I needed underwear. I needed Twinkies. I needed toys. I need BB guns, Red Ryder BB guns. I need marbles. I've needed everything. But as I've matured and gotten older, I don't have need of much. I'm pretty much a fulfillment of the scripture. He will supply all of your needs and then all of your desires. And so around Christmas time and a few days preceding, in fact, it's a few months preceding, Sister Becky becomes a pest. It starts with, what do you want for Christmas this year? What do you want for Christmas this year? Oh, please tell me. Give me a list of what you want. And then she always says, you're so hard to buy for. You have everything. And the point is, I pretty much do have everything I want. And so I can't think of a lot of things that I want. But if you try hard enough, you can always find something that I don't even know I want. You know, Brother Brent Norton comes to see us sometime. Brother Brent, last time he's here, or time before last, whenever it was. Brother Brent said, I got something I want to give you. You know what that is? I didn't need that. I hadn't thought about it. I didn't want that. It's a letter opener. And it's so sharp, and I've got a matched set on my desk, but it's real dull. This one's really sharp. Now, this is the ones I use for envelopes that have checks. The other one I use for envelopes that have bills. But do you know what? There's scarcely a day goes by that I don't think of my friend, Brother Brent Norton, because he found something that was going to lay on my desk and I was going to use every day. Hey, if you're shopping for God, let me give you a hint. You want to give him something he'll use every day if you want him to remember you. And that's the reason, the two reasons why we give gifts is because we love somebody and we want somebody to remember us. And so it would seem that it would be impossible to give God anything because he has everything. What can you give a God that has the ability to create? This is a God that can create a sun, a moon, a blade of grass, a flower, a star, an earth, a human being, a giraffe. He can just make anything he wants. And yet here we are at Christmas time, his birthday, just contemplating what can we do that would be a blessing to the Lord on his birthday. Well, you know, they're not called wise men because they were dummies. They were called wise men because they had wisdom. And the Bible said they did this. They brought gifts to the God incarnate. I don't think they just reached down and picked up something and said, hey, it was no re-gifting. They didn't say, hey, Uncle Ezra gave me this myrrh, I think I'll take it. They were wise men. They thought about it. They dwelled on it. They discussed it. They figured out. They analyzed. What can we take to Messiah? And they settled on three things. The Bible is littered with spurned and rejected gifts that people offered God, and God just didn't accept them. I told you about Freddie Price. I love Dr. Frederick Price. He is my favorite faith teacher of all times. I was so disappointed. We were in Chattanooga a couple of years ago, and they had Dr. Price. He didn't travel that much anymore, but they had him there in person. And it was just the greatest faith teaching, and I didn't bother to take notes because I was going to get the tapes, And so afterwards, I said to Dr. Gerald, hey, I need to get those tapes. He said, Dr. Price said, we can't tape him. And so I didn't get it. It was just profound. But Dr. Price is a character. I heard him say one time, he said, my birthday's coming up. And he said, my secretary has a list of gifts that I want. Don't get me anything that's not on that list. He said, with me, it's not the thought that counts, it's the gift that counts. I don't care what you think. Dr. Price, he's 80 years old. He can say what he wants to. I've got 11 years. In 11 years, you're going to want to wear a football helmet to this church. When you're 80 years old, you get to say anything. He said, I got one kind of cologne. I've been wearing the same kind of cologne for 25 years. And he said, but you've been bringing me all kinds of cologne. He said, you know what I do? He said, I make a ritual of it. I go into the bathroom, I take the lid off, and I stand there, and I pour that cologne into that commode, and I flush it down. He said, bring what I want. You're not dealing with Dr. Price here. I'll take anything. If it's free, I love it. I don't like Butterfingers, but if they're free, I'll eat them. I'd rather have Twinkies, but if it's free, it's good. But Dr. Price is a little like God. Just because you shove it in God's face doesn't mean that he takes it. Study the Word of God sometimes. He rejects lots of things. That's what got the little scenario of Cain and Abel. You remember one offering was rejected and the other was accepted. And so offerings do matter. Gifts do matter to God. And so these three wise men just didn't pick up and go. They didn't run by Walmart at the last moment and get the blue light special. This was something they thought about. It had significance. The first thing the Bible said was they brought was gold. Now we understand the value of gold today. It was a little different in the Bible. Believe it or not, there was more of an abundance of gold then than there is now. Gold was a pretty prolific and available substance during Bible times. And what makes it so special today is its rarity. But what made it so special then was not so much its rarity as its purity. And so God said, if you're going to bring me a gift, it has to be a pure gift. It can't be contaminated. You remember Saul, King Saul, he got in bad trouble taking gifts to God. You remember what he did, don't you? God told him to destroy all the Amalekites and all the animals of the Amalekites, and he nearly did what God told him to do. Nearly. Nearly doesn't really meet God's standard. He killed all the Amalekites except one, and he killed all the animals except the best ones. It's a brilliant idea. Instead of being obedient to God and killing all the animals, he selects the best, and he says, I will sacrifice them to Jehovah. That sacrifice was not only rejected, it was the end of his reign as the king of Israel. Just because he brought the wrong gift. Because it wasn't a pure gift. It had already been contaminated by the idolatry of the Amalekites. And so when you talk about them bringing the gift of gold, you're talking about purity. But in our time, what is it that God wants from us? I don't think there's going to be anybody who's going to bring a big sack of gold here tonight and put it on this pulpit. Are you? Lift your hand if you are, please. Most of you won't remember the sister in the old church. How long ago? 35 years ago? 35 years ago, she came to me. We talked a lot about seed, I guess. She said, I want to give a seed offering. I anticipated a check, a seed offering. I said, okay. She said, I'm going to bring it as seed. I said, what is it? She said, $30,000. Still, I'm thinking of a $30,000 check. No, she said, $30,000 in nickels. I want every one of those nickels to represent a seed. And so on a Wednesday night, just like this, she brought $30,000 in nickels. How'd she do that? Not in the trunk of her car. It took an armored car to pull up there, and they had little dollies, and they brought them in bags. I don't know how many nickels in each bag, and they made a it made a stack about this high, about 25 feet across, I guess. And they brought them all in there, and we prayed over them, and they hauled them all back, put them in the armored car, went and put them in the church account. But that was an odd way of doing that, but it meant something to her. It was significant to her. And so when we talk about seed, we're talking about that. But we're not going to bring $30,000 in nickels tonight. We're not going to bring a sack of gold, and certainly not going to do that on every occasion. So what are we talking about at purity and as pure as gold? There's a real unique text. I've loved this text for years. Hosea 14:2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. What is it God desires? For some reason, the God that needs nothing and the God that has everything puts a premium on the quaint phrase, the calves of our lips. In other words, the words of our mouth. What you say is one of the few gifts that God wants. That's the reason why we need to be so careful how we speak. He said, out of the same vessel, the same fountain, I don't accept bitterness and sweetness, cursing and blessing. You can't be down there using the F word on people, cussing people out, and then come up here and say, now I'm going to worship the Lord with my lips. That's not going to work with the Lord. It will be rejected. He said it's got to be pure words, like gold. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Look how many things that are words that God asks for. You know, God asks us, when we come to Christ, what's the first thing we do? Even before we repent, what do we do? Because there's no need to repent if this is not true. We confess that Jesus is Lord. You see, there's no need to repent if Jesus is not Lord. You're just saying negative things when you repent. But if first you confess that Jesus is Lord, that means he is God incarnate. That means he is your Savior. That means he's able and willing. That whatever you cast on him with your words, he's going to be able to do something about it. You know, we pour out our troubles to people all the time. That is a total waste of time because they can't do anything about what you're talking about and wouldn't do it if they could. But when you confess to the Lord not only can, but he wants to. And so when you confess Jesus, your Lord, you're not only the Lord of the universe, you're my personal Lord, my personal Savior. Those are golden words. Those are gifts. And so on this Christmas season, it would just be wonderful if you would make a special extra occasion of just making words that are pertinent and personal. Why? It's all based on relationship. You remember in Matthew, what is it, 27? Anyway, it's Matthew. He said, cast them out. Not because they had sin. He said, because I never had a relationship with you in the Greek. It's all about relationship. It's all about communication. Somebody said, oh, our marriage, we got a divorce because of money. No, you got a divorce because you started failing and you failed to communicate and you didn't talk through things and you did not compliment and you did. There's just so many things. It's about relationship. So on this Christmas, if you want to bring a gift to the Lord, bring words that are golden. Confession. That's one of them. Not only confession, but you can also bring repentance and prayer. You say, why are these important? They got to be gold words. What do you mean by that? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Those words to be gold have to come out of the treasure of your heart. They can't be somebody else's prayer you've heard. They can't even be somebody else's song. It's good to be in corporate worship, and we sing these great songs that come up on the screen, some of them old, some of them new. Some people have such a gift with words. But the truth is each one of us that have had a relationship and have a relationship with the Lord, our tongue needs to be the pen of a ready writer, the scripture said. You need to have little songs that you sing in your car that nobody else knows about, that would be foolish. There's not much more annoying, embarrassing for some couple to get in a public place and start exchanging their little words of endearment and love. And you know they're doing it for other people to hear. It really should be between them as a husband and a wife, as a special couple. And so if you have an intimate relationship with the Lord, one of the great Christmas gifts you can give him is gold. And those golden things are words that you give to the Lord. That means prayers that you wouldn't pray in the chapel to the top of your voice. It's intimate prayer. It's little songs that you'd never take a microphone and sing, but it's maybe where the Lord found you, what the Lord has done for you, things so intimate to your spirit that you wouldn't even share with your spouse. And so the best place for this is 70 miles an hour in a car with locked doors. Oh, the Lord, let us have transportation, not so we can get from point A to point B, so we could have special alone times with him, and we curse it and call it traffic. But the truth is, it's the chamber of love with the Lord where you're alone with him, and you can just talk, and nobody can listen in. Unless you do like some people have made a mistake and leave their phone on. Don't do that. But it's a special thing. And so he said, out of the treasure of your heart, bring forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. We hear them all the time. I've got fleshly friends that it just like a piece of chalk on a chalkboard, the way they talk. Every third word is profanity, and I just hate that. It does something to me. But they have an evil heart. One of my friends, he's 77 years of age, and he said, "Man, Steve, my health has just fallen apart since I turned 75. And I said, "I'm not that much older than you." And he looked at me and he said, "But you hadn't lived like I live, man. I've lived hard." And I thought, not only have I not done something, I've also done some things you haven't done. The Bible said, when I withhold my voice, my spirit dies, my bones wax old. We have to be able to go to the Lord, taking words with you and turn to God. And they have to be pure gold. They can't be slang. They can't be off the top of your head. They have to come from where? He tells us, for the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Golden words from a pure heart. That's what the gold represents that the wise man brought to the Lord. Take words with you and turn to God. And secondly, frankincense. You know, frankincense is a neat deal because it is a very, very bitter herb. If you were to taste it, I remember my dad. My dad had a lot of fruit trees. He really was into horticulture, and we had acres of peach trees and apple trees. But what we called the 14 acres, a place he owned several miles away, had a bunch of trees on it, but had one fruit tree on it. It was a persimmon tree. And one day I was a little boy, and Daddy thought it was a joke. But my dad loved persimmons. And I suppose at some time they're good. But he picked the green here and said, "Here, Stevie, bite in this." I bit in that green persimmon, and I don't know if you know anything about it or not. I puckered up. I was dazed before I could unpucker. It's the worst thing. I mean, it just draws up your mouth. You can't control your mouth. That's how bitter it is. Well, when we talk about frankincense, we're talking about a very bitter herb. If you are to eat it, if you're to get any of its contents on your lips or on your hands and get them to your mouth, it's very, very bitter. But it has one unique quality, and that is the hotter it gets and the longer it's in a fire or in a liquid that's on fire and boiling, the sweeter it gets. If it is boiled long enough, it will become very, very sweet. And so that's what they brought. They brought frankincense, sacrifice. Frankincense represents sacrifice. I don't care who you are, sacrifice is at first bitter. And a Christian lives a life of sacrifice. You pray when your body is tired. You go to church when there's other things that would be more self-gratifying at the moment. You give when you could use that money in some other way. You take time for others when you could be investing in yourself. All of that comes under the heading of sacrifice. And when you do it, it is bitter. It's as bitter as it could be. That's the reason why new converts don't sacrifice, because they've only tasted the bitterness of it, and they do not realize that the longer it lasts, the sweeter it becomes. And every sacrifice that you make for the Lord, for the Lord's people, and for the Lord's kingdom, every sacrifice will eventually become sweet. And the more bitter it is at the beginning, the sweeter it is at the ending. And so this was a chosen gift brought to the Lord, frankincense. If you use this and you use it in the fire, it will become a tremendous, tremendous blessing of sweetness to you. It's called trust. You don't sacrifice unless you trust, because at the moment of the sacrifice, it's totally alien to everything in your fleshly body and all of your five fleshly senses. And so only mature Christians sacrifice, because it's a matter of trust. That's the reason why tithe and offering is bitter. And only those that have tremendous faith and have done it for a while really are excited about doing it, because it's bitterness that will turn to sweetness, and it is the greatest common denominator of whether we trust God or not. You don't write checks to the church unless you're trusting God. The government knew what they were doing when they put on our currency, "In God we trust." To mix trust and money was a wise thing by somebody that had godly counsel in their spirit. Romans 12:1, "Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." If you want to give God a gift, not only on Christmas, but in a daily routine that he will accept, take words with you and turn to God, but they have to be from the abundance of your heart. The second thing is, make your flesh, your body, a living sacrifice. There's so many people that love stories about martyrs that have given their life for the Lord. But let me tell you, if you can't be a living sacrifice, you certainly would not be a dead sacrifice. But every day of our life, we have that occasion to give a gift to the Lord that he will not reject, but he will accept. And that is to offer our body to him as a living sacrifice, which is not unreasonable in the kingdom of God, but which is your reasonable service. So you want to give God some. God has vacated this planet as far as a body. He came to this earth and he demonstrated and limited himself to 33 and a half years. And he said, I'm not going to use this body again on this earth. From now on, I will be seeking bodies to use. And if you can become the body that the Spirit of Christ can use, you are a tremendous gift to God. Because God still has a work on this earth. He said about himself, I must be about my Father's business. If you can give your body as a reasonable sacrifice, what does that mean? That means that Christ can come in you and do what he did when he was here in a physical body, and now he is here in a spirit, and it's the spirit has tremendous advantage, but it also has limited liability. And that is, there's some things that God cannot do without a body. And so he searches for people that will offer their bodies as living sacrifices, that will go as he went, that will speak as he spoke, that will do as he did, that Christ will be in us, and we will be showing the love and the kindness that Jesus Christ showed when he was on this earth. Third and last, myrrh. The Bible gives us a tremendous story about this. What is myrrh? Myrrh represents the anointing or the worship. If you want to bring a gift to the Lord that he will accept every time, take words with you and turn to God. Golden words only that come from your heart. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. And thirdly, myrrh. God is looking for people to anoint, and he only anoints those that worship. God will never anoint a person that will not worship. And it is the anointing that breaks the yoke, not just your yoke, but the yoke of your authority and your influence. You understand that each one of you have an influence that I don't have. I have an influence you don't have. Somebody says, I'm responsible for the whole world. No, you're not. You're responsible for your world. You're responsible for your sphere of influence, your realm of authority. And God wants to anoint you because that anointing will break the yoke not only of yourself and your spouse, but people in the sphere of your influence. But God will not anoint a person or a body that is not accustomed to worshiping him. Worship is the precursor to anointing every time. God doesn't say you have to be a great singer or a great preacher or a great communicator to be anointed, but you have to be a worshiper to be anointed. And when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, they came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. They thought that Jesus was going to reject this gift. And they didn't know that Jesus was tickled as a little boy in his pajamas that gets a little gun or a toy under the Christmas tree. Jesus was giddy with excitement because here is a woman with a bad past that has a worshiping presence that will give her an anointed future. A bad past, a worshiping present, an anointed future. That was her destiny. There are people in this building tonight that have gone through that very thing. Your past, as bad as it was, is not something that negates you. It's something that qualifies you. Jesus said, who loves the most? He said, well, I suppose those that have forgiven the most. He said, you rightly spoken. The place that the Lord has dug you out of and brought you from does not disqualify you. It qualifies you because you're able to go back to that same boneyard and sit down with somebody that's exactly like you used to be and talk their vernacular and speak their jargon and say, I know what you're going through, sister. I know what you're going through, buddy. I've been there. But also, let me tell you where I am now. I am a worshiper of God. And the reason I am a worshiper of God, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. That's the reason why we worship, is because we acknowledge what the Lord has done for us. And when you have that past and you have that present worship, friend, you are set up to get anointed. And when you get anointed, it breaks every yoke. The devil has all kinds of yokes. He has a yoke just your size and just your style. And it will fit you perfectly and limit you where you'll never, ever be anything at all in this world. And he will fit it with you like a tailor fit in a custom suit, but it doesn't matter how well it fits. When the anointing comes on you, it will rip every thread. It will burst every seam. And the devil said, I thought it was just made for you. It was made for me to destroy it with the anointing of the Lord. Your gifting to God identifies you in heaven. When Cornelius offered his gifts to the Lord, the Bible said it was a memorial to him. Where? In heaven. Friend, I'm telling you, if you will bring the right gifts to the Lord, if you will bring words with you from your heart, abundance, and speak them to the Lord, if you will come to the Lord and offer him that sacrifice, if you will come to the Lord and break your alabaster box of praise and worship for what he has done, the Lord will anoint you. He will put you in a unique place. You won't have to make noise. People will be attracted to you. When Jesus was talking about being lifted up and men will be drawn, he was talking about being lifted up in you. When Jesus is lifted up in you, you're going to have a congregation. You're going to have a group. You're going to have people that look to you. You're going to have people that listen to you. You're going to have people that are influenced with you. It doesn't matter, though, if people come to you and you ain't got nothing to say. The Bible said they went out and heard a voice crying in the wilderness. Not an echo. They heard a voice. John had a unique experience with God. Do you have an experience with God? Do you talk to God with words that others do not know and use? Do you take them to the Lord every day of your life? Do you know what it is to sacrifice your body? And do you know what it is to bring an alabaster box and break it before the Lord and say, here it is? But the Bible said it was precious. It's precious. You see, God never takes the common. You say, well, everything's common to God. No, no. The value of the gift is not what it means to God. It's what it means to you. Because everything would be common to God. The only reason why that lock of hair he carried with him in World War II in a worn-out billfold was important. How many locks of hair were cut off in beauty salons and nobody cared? But this lock was precious. He carried it through 2 or 3 years of war and brought it back home again. And so your gift that you bring to the Lord is only as important as the preciousness that you assign it. If you can give, I'm going to give this to the Lord because it doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't mean anything to him. But if it is precious to you, this alabaster box was the most precious thing she had. And all the disciples gathered around and said superfluous things. But one woman with an alabaster box made the party. And not only that, everybody else said, what kind of a gift is that? And what kind of a giver is she? And they didn't realize that she was the star of the party because what she was giving was precious. That's the reason why you don't look down on somebody else's gift, as small as it might be to you. If it's precious to them, Jesus said to the rich people that gave when he sat over against the treasure wall and watched them give, and she gave 2 pennies. He said, she's outgiving everybody because those 2 pence that she gave, they were of more value to her than the $1,000 the rich man gave, because The Bible said she gave out of her living. It was precious to her. What I'm telling you tonight is, in this simple little sermon about the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, what I'm telling you is that every one of us start at the same place. And we have the ability to affect the God of the universe with gifts that will rattle heaven, because it's our thought about the gift that makes it value and decides what it's worth to God, because God can create anything. But praise God, when we worship, when we sacrifice, when we give it to Him, and we say these little things, not like a parrot, but it's literally from the deep wells of our heart, deep calling unto deep. It stops the God of the universe. What is amazing is that we, as apparently significant, insignificant as we are, can have the influence we have. David said, when I consider the works of thy hands, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But God is. My question is, what do you give God, not just today, but 365 days a year? Because every one of you have got something that is precious to you that nobody else in the world has. And that's what the Lord wants, because that's what cements the relationship. And that's what this whole thing called Christianity is built on, is our relationship with the lover of our soul, the Savior of our spirit. Would you stand on your feet and lift your hands right now and just love the Lord? This is a unique crowd. You know, when you gather people into a church building, there's always people there that love the Lord. But the crowd is always diluted by the number of people that are there that don't care. They're there, but they don't have a clue why they're there. They just showed up. They saw the building. They went with somebody that was a friend. They felt like their mother wanted them to go. There's a thousand reasons why they're there. It's not because they want to draw near to the Lord. It's not because they have an alabaster box. The bigger the building comes, the bigger the crowd becomes, the more the dilution. And so this is a large building. And so Wednesday night is a special time because the dilution is less. Because most people, didn't I just see you on TV while I go, Brother Harold? Was that you? You had to hurry, you and Mary, to get here, didn't you? That's exactly what I'm talking about. They were down there, and I was watching them while I was getting dressed. Now they're here. You know, faithfulness is a lot about time management. You know that. That's the reason why a lot of people are not faithful. They can't manage anything, and they can't manage their time. Brother Harold says, they are busy, busy people. But apparently they can manage time very well because they're almost in two places at one time. But when we come in here on Wednesday night, the dilution is not nearly as great as it is in many great cathedrals, or even like it would be here on Sunday. Because in the thought process of Christian America, nobody has to or needs to even go to church on Wednesday night. That is as old-fashioned as a spinning wheel. You just don't need to do that. But you transgress tradition and you come out here on Wednesday nights for something that is motivating you that most people don't have, that means you are unique in the very economy of God. That means that we can just worship the Lord and it's easier to get a miracle. It's easier to get a breakthrough. And so I want you to lift your hands and I want you to spend one moment, just one 60-second period, worshiping the Lord. And anybody in this building tonight that has anything that is an irritant to your spirit or to your life, that is a problem that you're really wrestling with, while they're worshiping and creating this atmosphere, much was like in the room with the alabaster box, I want you to step out and come down here and let me join with you in prayer that this is your night, because I really do believe that healing is here in Jesus' name. Praise God.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ,
the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Her past is an opportunity. Praise God. Her worship is here. And the anointing is about to present itself to break yokes in her life. In Jesus' name, tonight, tonight, in the name of Jesus, my brother, on this last Wednesday night before Christmas 2018, it can be a mile marker in your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, my sister, a special night that you could never forget. God's apt to write that on the scroll of your heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, my brother, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus right now, God, you're able. You're able, Lord, to comfort. You're able to make a way where there is no way. You're able to create that miracle. You're able to speak the unspeakable. And right now, for my brother, I ask you, God, for that healing miracle in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I feel the healing presence that I felt in the opening moments of this service. It's still here. Let God heal you. Let God heal you right now. Whatever you need from the Lord is more than able. Unspeakable are His virtues. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a praise. If you have a second mile offering while we continue to minister in this altar, lift it up. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bring you this.